This is the weekend when we celebrate Seudat HaMashiach, the meal of Messiah. You can be seated if you want to. Some of you are trying to figure out, when do we actually do this? It's not on the fourth weekend, but rather it's on the last Friday of the month, and then the Saturday that follows that. And in this case, the last Friday was last night, and we cross over to a new month. But we'll do it again at the end of October, again on the last Friday. That's just how we schedule it. I want to take some time to teach you about Seudat HaMashiach, because every so often we need to pay attention and to learn, to deepen and to broaden our understanding of the meal of Messiah. You know that the first believers had a simple name for this. They called it Todah, which means thanksgiving. And that was what the Hebrew speakers called it. The Greek speakers called it Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. Same thing. If you grew up or had exposure to an Anglican, Episcopalian, Catholic church, you would hear this word Eucharist very regularly. What you might not know is that it was a Messianic Jewish thing. You might have thought it was part of your original church plan. It was actually part of the Messianic Jewish community's original plan. Because the first generation of believers would gather together often, and they would celebrate the new covenant. They would commemorate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Yeshua. They would remember him who was the key to resurrection life. When I first came to Jacksonville, it wasn't the practice of the congregation to celebrate Seudat HaMashiach regularly. I like the name Seudat HaMashiach. It has a certain history. It literally means the meal of Messiah. Can you say the phrase with me? Seudat HaMashiach. The meal of Messiah. And that particular name is actually a borrowed name, because the Hasidic Jews have a long history of celebrating an extra Passover Seder. At the end of Passover, in the afternoon before the conclusion, they have one last Seder with four cups and with matzah, and they examine themselves before God and dedicate themselves to service to God. And it is a time, it's a Seder that is dedicated specifically to Messiah, to the coming of Messiah. And so it's a good term. It's a Hebrew term. It's understandable. It has history, and it specifically speaks to how we understand what we're doing. This is the meal of Messiah. When we started doing this, I know that some people had different understandings and different experiences. I want to give you some background on the meal of Messiah that comes from John chapter 6. So let's have a little bit more light. We're not going to be taking up the offering right now, guys. The ushers are right here. We're going to follow a little different pattern right now. Let's have a little bit more light. So you can open up your Bibles, if you have them, to John chapter 6. At the end of this passage, it tells us that this happened in Capernaum, and even connects it to the synagogue of Capernaum, in Hebrew, Kfar Nahum, which means the village of comfort. And Capernaum is a unique place in the history of Israel, because in Capernaum, the Messianic Jews, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and all the other Jews continue to worship together in common synagogues. And even some of the synagogues archaeologically have discovered to have messianic emblems on them, but they were used by all. And so it was a unique place in Israel's history. There was not the casting out of the messianic Jews from those synagogues as took place elsewhere. In Capernaum, in Kfar Nahum, the messianic Jews and the rest of what would later become rabbinic Judaism continued to worship together until at least the fourth century. That's how long it went. And so it's interesting that these things that we're about to read were spoken not only to messianic Jews, they were spoken in front of all other kinds of Jews, and everyone who heard the words we're about to hear had a difficult time with it. So if you have a difficult time, welcome to the club. Starting in verse 28, they asked him, "What must we do to do the works that God requires?" It's important to know what they're asking. They want to know, what are the main requirements? If we are going to be obedient and fulfill what God has called us to do, what must we do? Sandy and I were in Jerusalem many years ago. We were with a family, Jewish family, during Sukkot, and their teenage children wanted to know about our congregation, our community life, and they said, "Well, what are the main commandments that you have?" Because that's a typical Jewish question. It helps people understand what's distinctive about one community over another. And I said, "Well, we have two that are very important. One is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And the second one is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Guess where I got that? And I remember the response of these young people. They said, "Well, that's really nice. I like that. This sounds like an interesting community." These were secular Jews. They weren't accustomed to going to synagogue. But these answers, which in fact were Yeshua's answers, they were attractive. Well, verse 29 tells us what Yeshua answered. He says, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." What is the real work? To believe him. To believe him. It is not so much about believing the right doctrine or believing the right dogma. It's about believing the right one. So they asked him, "Well, what miraculous sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." You see, Moses had a miraculous sign. That's what they're saying. What's your miraculous sign? What are you going to do that's miraculous that will help us believe you? And Yeshua said to them in verse 32, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God..." Okay, this is very, very important. I want you to get this right. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. It's very important that we not get lost in this message that Yeshua is bringing to us. When we're talking about Seudat HaMashiach, what many Christians would call communion or Eucharist, we are talking about something that is built on the teaching Yeshua is giving right here in John 6 in Kfar Nahum. It has to do with this bread that we eat. And it has to do with this new covenant. And it has to do with who we are and what we're all about. I have had the opportunity to celebrate Eucharist in a Catholic church, Anglican churches, Episcopalian churches, their priests have asked me as the Messianic rabbi to officiate. And honestly, I don't really know all the rules and regulations in those groups. And so I'd never quite get it right. But every time I do have this opportunity, I point to that moment at that Passover Seder when Yeshua lifted up the cup and the matzah and described to his disciples that this was his flesh and this was his blood, and that they needed to eat and drink of him. And sometimes that one detail is lost on people who grew up in Christian churches and didn't realize that what they were doing was connected to a, not just a Passover, but to a whole way of life that was Jewish, that had gone long before them. In many places, the emphasis is on getting the little details right. I've been in some places where the bread has to be a certain shape. It has to be this kind of wafer and that kind, and you can only take it a certain way. You know, you can put your hands out. You can receive it directly into your mouth. Do any of you know what I'm talking about? And there's nothing wrong with that. There's only a challenge. It's not just a challenge in those congregations. It's a similar challenge that we faced in the conservative synagogue I grew up in. Sometimes when you're teaching people about the things and about what you do and how you do it, what can be lost is why you do it and what's behind it. And when it comes to Seudat HaMashiach, we can lose our focus, and that's what Yeshua is trying to help us with. What must we do? What we must believe in the one who God has sent. And he says this, the bread of God is, let's fill in the blank. It could be matzah. We could say that if someone said, well, what's the bread of God? You could say, well, it's matzah. You could say it's challah, you know, from the sanctuary. But that's not Yeshua's answer. Verse 33, the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. The key to understanding Seudat HaMashiach is not to learn all the details of what shape the bread is, but to learn the details of who it is you're taking in. The key is to believe in the one who was sent. Sir, they said, from now on give us this bread. When we think about the bread, we need to think not about bread. We need to think about Yeshua. Because this is not about bread. It's not about matzah, it's not about challah, it's not about the showbread. All those things could be connected, but they are not the central point of Seudat HaMashiach. He is the central point. Verse 35, then Yeshua declared, I am the bread of life. Repeat that after me. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven. Do you see how controversial this is? Yeshua is not saying, I'm a good man. He's saying, I came down from heaven to do something. I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. What is God's plan? He wants to gather and to keep everyone who would come to him. This is Shabbat Shuvah. This is the Shabbat between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. On this day, all over the world, Jewish people are hearing a prophetic call that says this, return to God. And even this encouragement, even if you've been backsliding, God will have mercy if today you will return. Yeshua doesn't want to lose even one backslider. He doesn't want to lose even one person who has lost their way. He wants to keep us all. Verse 40, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, verse 41, at this, some Jewish people began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, isn't this Yeshua ben Yosef? Isn't this Yeshua, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Is he Meshuggah? Is he crazy? Yeshua says, stop grumbling among yourselves. It's interesting. He doesn't say, stop grumbling about me. He says, stop grumbling among yourselves. It's not going to do you any good. This won't help you. Verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Say that again with me. I am the bread of life. Yeshua repeats things for one reason, emphasis, so that you would know what's the most important point. I am the bread of life. That's the most important point. He says it again and again and again, so that none of us would miss it or be distracted. Verse 49, your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. That's what Yeshua said. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my... Do you see it? This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, in ancient Hebrew, not biblical era Hebrew, but ancient Hebrew, the Hebrew that was ancient at the time of Yeshua, the word for bread, lechem, also meant body or flesh. And so this is also a play on words. It's a double meaning. This flesh is my flesh. It's like there's, look at them as the same. When you think of the bread, think about me. I give my flesh for the life of the world. Verse 52. Then some Jewish people began to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us flesh to eat? What was the audience? It was Jews. Jews don't eat blood. We don't drink blood. And it's perfectly clear that Yeshua needed an advertising agency. Isn't it true? He didn't understand that he needed to make things really soft and easy. He needed someone who could say, wait a minute. If you talk like this, it won't work. People will misunderstand you. They'll be confused. You know, Jews don't eat blood. They're not going to be cannibals. You want to speak to cannibals, you've got to go somewhere else. Actually, Yeshua had a purpose. He wanted to produce a crisis in every listener. Verse 53, Yeshua said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Do you see the crisis? You mean I've got to follow you on these terms?
Yeah.
Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. What is Seodat HaMashiach? It is us feeding on him. Do you see? It's not about the rules and regulations of the ritual. It's about him. It's about you and me learning to take life from him, to understand that he is the central portion of our life. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. It was a difficult message. It was a very difficult message. It was a very difficult message for everyone to hear, and it's still a difficult message today. Verse 60. On hearing this, many of his Talmudim, his disciples, said, this is a difficult message. Who can accept it? When they said, who can accept it? It's not a rhetorical question. They're looking at each other. Who can accept this? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this. You see the word grumbling repeated from before? Earlier, it was just the general Jewish population, which was mixed Messianic Jews and every other kind of Jew. Now, it's only the Messianic Jews who are grumbling. And Yeshua says to them, does this offend you? Does it? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? He was speaking about what would happen for some of them. Luke tells us that after Yeshua was resurrected, he appeared again to many of his disciples. And in the last chapter of Luke, some of them are gathered together with him. He's opened up their minds to understand the Tanakh. Prior to that, they were confused about how to interpret things. They were totally confused about the necessity of Messiah having to die, having to give his life as a sacrifice. Not one of them was in favor of that. And so you could say the Talmudim, the disciples of Yeshua, were no different from all the rest of the Jewish people in this regard. It's controversial. But on that moment when they were with Yeshua and he was getting ready to leave, they then saw him ascend back to heaven. And the scripture teaches us that that's when they worshiped him. When they realized everything he had said was true, and that he had in fact come down from heaven, and now he was going back up into heaven, it made everything concrete for them. Verse 63, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Yeshua is not having a confidence crisis here, is he? Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Yeshua had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. Now look at verse 66, because this is the beginning of the wrap-up of this whole passage. It says, from this time, look at it, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. His message, you've got to eat of me, you've got to drink of me, was so controversial It was so offensive. It was difficult, and it's difficult today. Verse 67. You don't want to leave too, do you? Yeshua asked the 12. I wish I had the boldness of Yeshua. Sometimes I don't want to know things. Yeshua didn't care. He wanted to know. Yeshua wanted to know, you want to leave too? Simon Peter answered him. Pay close attention to this. Lord, to whom shall we go? Now I want you to understand the answer. The answer is, we have thought about it. We have been talking about it. We don't have anywhere to go. And you have the words of eternal life. We believe. And we know that you are the Holy One of God. Because it was at a Passover Seder that Yeshua lifted up the cup and offered the matzah and said that this was the cup and the bread of the new covenant, that we associate this drinking and eating with Passover, but it is not to be understood primarily as about Passover. It is not to be understood as being limited to Passover. It is to be understood as part of our normal life in the Son, in Yeshua. And it is about Him. It's not about something else. It's not about getting the details right. It's about getting Him right. It's not about getting the teaching and doctrine and the practices and the priesthood and all those things right. It's about getting Him right. If you get Him right, everything else will come into place. If you get this wrong, it doesn't matter what else you get right. It'll all be confused and disturbed and out of place. You know, when Yeshua was at that Passover Seder and He lifted up a cup and He said, this is My blood. You know that at least one person in the room must have thought, well, why didn't you tell us this earlier? It would have made it easier. You know that not only is lechem a play on a word for flesh, but blood is also part of an idiom. The blood of grapes is how you say grape juice in a poetic way in Hebrew. And so when He says, this is My blood, He's also saying, this is My juice. It's My juice. My cup, My bread, My flesh, My juice. And it was still offensive. Do you understand how easy it would have been to be offended at that moment? You could be relieved and say, well, thank goodness, I thought you were calling us to do something much worse. But you could be offended in another way. Instead of relieved, you could say, how dare you have misled us? Why didn't you just tell us simply? And He has His purposes. There are times when He wants to undermine our natural way of viewing things and understanding things, that He would be able to establish in us His way of seeing things. And He undermines it by attacking it, not by being nice and sweet. Let's change your mind. He works hard. Have you been offended by anything the Lord's ever done? Anyone here? I have. Thank goodness He offended me. Do you know He's done a number of things that He didn't even ask my permission for? That have to do with my life. There are a number of things where He said, this is the way it's going to be. And He only expected one thing, yes, sir, from me. That's it. That's all He wanted. I don't want us to have any room for confusion in our hearts when we celebrate Seudat HaMashiach. we're doing it for one reason and one reason alone. We want to feed on the one who came down from heaven. He's the bread of life. He's why we do this. And he gave this to us to do, and it's done in many different ways, all of which can be honored and accepted. He gave it to us so that we would have life in him. That's why. Many times, messianic believers get stuck in something. If they see something being done that, I'm just going to say it the way it is, that looks to them like the way it's done in a Christian church, sometimes they don't want to do it. And I don't have that attitude. I have a different attitude. If I can see a Jewish thing being done in a Christian church, it just makes me happy. If I can help them make the connection between the things that they're doing and the things that are part of the Jewish life expressed in the New Testament, I find real joy in it. But I've also found that many people who come to a messianic congregation, I'm going to tell you the truth, many people come from some Christian backgrounds where they're angry and upset because in their background they weren't told these Jewish things. The Jewish stuff was either discarded, minimized, trampled on, mishandled, ignored, or whatever. And some people, many people, come into a messianic congregation angry. And I'm here to tell you, get over it. God's not looking for angry young men and women or angry old men and women. He is looking for people who say he's the bread of life. And he doesn't want you to be angry about him being the bread of life. He doesn't mind offending you, but he wants you to get over it. Do you want to go? Go. Isn't that what he said? But if you go, count the cost and say, well, where would we go? Lord, you're the one who gives us eternal life. I share this with you, parents, because I want you to be able to teach your children well. It's not so much about how we do what we do, it's that we do it. That we find a way to celebrate Yeshua, to feed on him and to remember the bread of life. That he is the bread of life. Who is the bread of life? Yeshua. Where did he come from? Heaven. Where did he come down to? Israel. But he came from heaven. And where did he go back to? Heaven. Where is he coming back to? Israel, right. It's up and down, up and down. We serve an up and down God who's coming back. He wants us to remember resurrection and partake of it. I would like to ask our cantor for today, Ray Barnett and John, her husband, to come serve us, and Maria Perez and the girls, will you come up and serve too? We try to make the actual process pretty simple. We have matzah in little cups. You don't have to be a member of this congregation. You don't have to belong to us, but you do have to belong to him to partake. If you belong to Yeshua, then you have every right and privilege to eat and drink of him. I want to invite you who can say, Yeshua is my Lord. I want to invite you to come up row by row, take a cup, take a piece of matzah. Thank you for making atonement for us. Thank you for being the Kippur, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Thank you for being the Pesach, the redeeming sacrifice that gives us identity and calls us out of one kingdom into another. Thank you, Lord. Without blood, there is no atonement. Thank you for the blood of your Son. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Barei Pri Hagafen. Amen. Lord, you're the bread of life. You're the bread of heaven. You came down to be with us, to live a perfect life in front of us, to show us what real faithfulness is, and to give us faith in you. Thank you for living faith. Thank you, Lord, that you took upon your flesh all the penalty that we deserved. You became a perfect sacrifice, and you even defeated death and proved it by your resurrection. We give thanks to you, the bread of life. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Hashem Yeshua Mashiachinu, amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth and brought Yeshua up from the grave. Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace.
Yivarechecha Adonai vayishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'yachunecha. Yisa Adonai Adonai panav alecha v'yisem lecha Shalom.
Come join us. Lashana Tova, Shabbat Shalom.